Welcome back to the program. Always great to have so many of your texts and your calls coming through, but I love this time every week because we have a chat to Hawthorn Premiership star and AFL Nation and SEN Track superstar Campbell Brown, thanks to Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. So much to get to, so little time with Brownie. Welcome to you, firstly. Great to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dwayne. I'm licking my wounds a little bit from last weekend's tipping. There's a few sides that I thought might play a bit better than they did, and I came unstuck.
And a couple of your teams have finished second, so it's not just your AFL teams you're tipping that finished second, it's your horses as well. We'll get to that shortly.
Close but no cigar, Dwayne.
No, exactly. What did you make of last night?
I thought it was a pretty competitive game, especially early, but the Western Bulldogs just couldn't maintain their intensity for long enough. And Brisbane, who I know they end up running away, you know, 41-point winners and looked good. I'm still not completely sold that they can potentially go on and win the premiership with what they've got at the moment. I just think they're missing a little bit of firepower up forward, and when it all goes well like it did last night, they look great. But I still think their three tours don't do enough throughout the course of really big, tough moments.
So the theory is that they all click on the one day, they could win the whole lot, but you're probably going to have to click three different days, aren't you, to win the flag?
You are. And so they might need to try and just tweak a few things. I know that they pushed a few of them up a little bit higher last night, and it seemed to work when McStay can play a bit higher and take those marks on the wing and wheel and go, and you got some space out the back for Joe Danaher, who I still think is, you know, probably a better player when the ball hits the ground, to be honest, and Charlie Cameron, who was, it's one of the best games I've seen him play, four goals and five goal assists. He was extraordinary. But Hipwood just doesn't do enough at the moment. I know he's still recovering from his knee injury, but you'd probably be expecting a greater return from him than what he's producing.
Now, this might sound really stupid, Brownie, but I saw Port win a game last week against the Suns where I don't think they would have won it if Todd Marshall didn't kick four straight.
Yep.
And last night we saw two teams that just kept missing goals. Now, it didn't really matter because both teams were playing against a team that was also missing down the other end. So, in modern footy, if you can't kick better than 50%, are you almost a liability for your team if you're getting it inside 50 and you can't deliver?
It makes it hard, doesn't it? We've seen so many momentum swings this year in games of football, and no side stays on top for the whole four quarters. So when you are on top and you're generating inside 50s and opportunities, especially with marks, you really do need to go back and put the good work that your midfield and defence have done on the scoreboard. And, we've seen time and time again sides dominate for 10, 15-minute periods, kick two goals, five, and then the opposition go up the other end and they kick accurately. And you know what, Dwayne? We saw that in the first quarter and a half on the weekend with Essendon and West Coast Eagles. Essendon were dominating the inside 50s and every single time the Eagles went up their end, you know, Darling or Kennedy, Crisp, kicked a goal, and it kept them in it to the point where they end up going on and winning the game.
Yeah, we should talk about it more, but for some reason players, we just seem to, he missed that one, no big deal, they'll get it down there and he'll kick the next one. Let's move on though, Saints. St Kilda updates thanks to Holmes Glen, study sports and event management with St Kilda Footy Club at Holmes Glen. Some pretty big ins for the Saints. I reckon this could be an upset of the round, if they can get it done with their three guns, Ryder, Hill, and Higgins is kind of a gun, and Wood back in.
Yeah, I tipped them last week, and I remember you laughing. You'd think I was a bit silly when I tipped the Saints against the Swans, and they just didn't show anything, did they? Four goals, eight for the whole game, and yeah, they get some firepower in that should definitely help, but I just can't see them kicking a winning score, and they've been, you know, really, they've fallen right away the last fortnight. And Carlton, on the other hand, I thought that was probably their best performance of the season. And they've had some great performances. They were coming up against a Dockers side that is a pretty hard side to play against, especially, you know, defensively. And to get 64 inside 50s, they were a side that if they'd have kicked accurately and been a little bit more efficient forward of centre, could have won by 10 or 12 goals. Such was their dominance. And they did it the right way. They won clearances. They dominated on the outside. And I think Carlton will be winning that game well.
Yeah, I fear that you're right, because I fear that tonight we're just going to get confirmation of what we kind of know. Carlton is a lot better than St Kilda. Carlton's a contender. Saints are not. And I'm worried that that's what we're going to find out, to be honest, because I'd rather find out that St Kilda's still a contender. But anyway, that's St Kilda update. Thanks to Holmes Glen. Mid-year intake. Apply now at Holmes Glen. Essendon, Sydney.
Yeah, well, Essendon just need to find a way to defend better. I think when they get the ball in there, big Peter Wright, and they've got avenues to goal and then can score. But I watched the whole game last weekend against the West Coast Eagles, and they just went inside 50 and scored far too easily. You know, every occasion they looked dangerous because Essendon allowed them to through their lack of... They usually structure up okay defensively, but they just got found out. So, yeah, I think the Sydney Swans will run them ragged.
So the Swans know that they'll probably go at Luke Parker, even though they had a whole half to do it last time they played. The Swans know that. Is this almost going to play into the Swans' hands? Because they're going to be ready for it. It's like they've telegraphed this move, Essendon.
Yeah, well, look, they should absolutely try and be more physical and make it a team effort to really not just go after Luke Parker, but all of the Sydney Swans players. But I just don't know if they've got the capability to maintain that aggression for the whole four quarters. And it certainly won't upset, you know, the way that Luke Parker goes about it, because he's never shirked an issue in his footy career. So I think getting Zerks Thatcher back in that defence will shore them up, and certainly Darcy Parrish back is a big in. But they'd need to improve significantly to be competitive against a pretty slick Sydney side.
So, again, will we get confirmation of what we know? Melbourne v Adelaide, Adelaide Oval. We kind of know that Melbourne's a lot better than Adelaide. We might get that confirmed. Likewise with Geelong and North Melbourne. Is that what we're going to get out of those two games?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Melbourne really returned to form last week, didn't they? And we already spoke about how good they were just collectively across the board. It was their hunt against the opposition that was the real standout for me. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if there was a big upset in one of those two games.
What's going to happen if North Melbourne does get beaten by 8 or 9 goals, Brownie? Do you think it'll just get lost in the wash? There'll be too much other going on, and we've done North Melbourne 5 times this year, so we'll leave it alone. Or do you think there'll be more heat?
Well, there should be more heat, because North Melbourne are the first team in AFL-VFL history to lose 10 straight games by over 40 points. And if they do it again this week, that's 11. That's simply not competitive and not good enough at this level. So we all know there's plenty going on at North Melbourne at the moment, but they've just got to be more competitive.
Yeah, good luck against the Cats at GMHBA Stadium. One game that should be competitive, Gold Coast and Collingwood. So this is a big moment for the Gold Coast. In fact, they've got 2 back-to-back games at Metricon. They've got Collingwood and Richmond back-to-back. You win those 2, you're a contender to make the 8 and you'll have your best ever season. You lose those 2, it's a different world.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm sure that they know the ramifications. We thought that the game on the weekend against Port would be much closer than the bookies had it. And we were dead right. You know, Port were good. But the Gold Coast Suns were really brave. They had to come back from behind on multiple occasions. And I'm loving their forward structure. I know that, you know, Marbier Chol and Levi Casbolt were 2 sort of discards in a way, and they've gone up there and give them some real structure and presence up forward. And most of the Gold Coast Suns players are really playing a team-orientated brand of football. So they were terrific. I thought Marshall and Powell Pepper was the other one that just does so many important things at big moments. It's not about possessions for him, but he was the man that laid the big game-saving tackle in the middle of the ground on Took Miller. He was absolutely superb. So, yeah, the Gold Coast Suns, I'm thinking, can cause a bit of an upset and beat a Collingwood side that, you know, are just taking it all before them.
Can Mark McVeigh get the Giants job?
Yeah, I think he definitely can. They've won a couple under him, and they've been competitive in every game they've played. You know, they're probably kicking themselves they haven't won another game or two because they've put themselves in positions to win. They're certainly playing a free-flowing offensive style of game. And I think Sam Mitchell will try and take them on and beat them at that very game. So I'm expecting a really high-scoring, sort of almost shootout type of game with the Hawks on Sunday. And I'm going to head up and cover that game too. So I'm looking forward to it.
Any chance of an upset, West Coast or Richmond? Or did we see a very good Richmond last week, even though they lost?
Well, I would have said yes, but I think Josh Kennedy, who was absolutely brilliant last week, is not playing. So that makes life very, very difficult for the West Coast Eagles. Getting Nick Natanui back is fantastic. Obviously, he's missed so much footy the last couple of years. But no, Richmond, they took the Cats on and you know, arguably fought their way back into contention with a man down and Dion Prestia. They were superb. So I don't think that the West Coast Eagles could cause that upset. So it should all be pretty straightforward, Dwayne. All the favourites should win, and we should go 9 from 9, except it's never happened for the whole season.
I'm looking forward to it, Brownie. Before you give us a racing tip, Fremantle-Port Adelaide could be the upset of the round, couldn't it? Port could surprise Freo, given their form last week, or not?
Yeah, potentially. I know that Freo, in particular this year, haven't really put two bad games together. Yeah. And, you know, they should have learned a hell of a lot of lessons out of how they performed last weekend. The defence actually stood up okay, considering. But they've just got to be a little bit braver with their ball movement and give their forwards an opportunity to kick a winning score. So, no, I think the Dockers.
Okay, tip us a winner this week. In fact, tip us a horse that you think can finish second this week so we can back it to finish second and it'll win.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, isn't it? It's a tough game sometimes. So Graham Begg's got a runner called Cardinal Gem that led all the way and got the job done at Caulfield last week. And I think it can go back-to-back at Flemington. Steps up to the mile. There's not a stack of speed in this race. He can camp just off them, and Billy Egan pilots the horse. Going to be very, very hard to beat. It's around about $2.70 at the moment, and it's been desperately unlucky, so I was pleased to see it win on the weekend, and I think he can go back to back.
Love your work, Brownie. I'll let you get back to SEN track. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Campbell Brown joining us. Thanks to Tyre Power. Best buys on big brands sale now on at Tyre Power. Get into your local independently owned Tyre Power today.